Stay tuned for one of the most fascinating programs you'll ever hear as we explore the strange and mysterious world of the paranormal and UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dealing with extraordinary claims of the paranormal on Earth and beyond. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, the controversies are real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of parapsychology, futuristic science, and the UFO enigma. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss some of the most fascinating and strange subjects around. Now here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum, home of common sense, no-nonsense, paranormal talk radio. Hey, we have got a really, really hot show planned tonight. I have two outstanding in-studio guests with me tonight, and it is the continuation of a very exciting weekend here in Denver where Larry Warren and Peter Robbins, who authored the book Left at Eastgate, came to the Denver area to give a talk on the incident that happened in December 1980 at the Bentwaters Air Force Base in the United Kingdom, and we're going to talk about that tonight. It's a very, very interesting story, and in my opinion, it is probably one of the most important UFO events of this century. It upstages the Roswell event because of what it means and what the future possibly holds for this incident. And we're going to get into that tonight in just a moment. But I want to mention, first of all, tonight is the 28th anniversary of Apollo 11's moon landing, which occurred July 20th, 1969. And we've come a long way since 69 in a lot of different ways. Also tonight, we are going to be giving away one of Peter and Larry's books, Left at Eastgate. So stay tuned. If you're hearing this show anywhere in the country except the Kansas City area, you can call in and talk to my guests tonight or participate in our giveaway. Also, if you'd like to buy an autographed copy of this book personalized to you, you can call during the hour with your MasterCard or Visa number, and we're going to send it to you. The Paranet price is $19.95. The list price, of course, is $24.95 plus tax, Colorado tax, if you're in Colorado, plus $2 shipping and handling. Now, to do that, during this hour, you can call us at 800-836-2009, and this is how you get your personalized autographed copy of Left at Eastgate, which is a very, very important book. And without any further delay, we're going to go to my guest tonight in studio again. It is a pleasure to have them here. We've had a very good weekend. So without any further ado, Larry Warren and Peter Robbins. Good evening, guys.
Good evening. Hi, Mike. Michael.
Thank you for being here.
Hey, it's been great.
Thank you. Well, we've enjoyed having you here, too. Let's start off the discussion, the first segment here, talking about the incident itself. What happened in December of 1980?
All right. Three nights of activity, and the first night, it was thought by some security police, which it was the job I performed also, that a UFO, an aircraft had crashed or something unusual was happening in the forest, known as Rendlesham Forest. They got permission to investigate it. They went out and encountered a triangular-shaped object. It eluded them. These men experienced approximately 4 hours of missing time. They didn't realize that much time had gone by. And I'm sure that event changed their lives forever. They were later found wandering in a daze, and there's quite a complex aspect to that first night that I think they should best explore. Second night, the objects returned and did what appeared to be aerial or grid searches over the twin base complex at Bentwaters. And then on the third night, which was brought about my involvement, was and many people's involvement, it was the night where the multiple witnesses were involved, was landings again, as it was on the first night. What is the only way it can be described as the presence of a non-human presence, alive, very much alive, filmed. This event was filmed, photographed, witnessed by numerous military and civilian people in the area. Many are coming forward now. I think our book has been a catalyst in that. And I was present on site for about 45 minutes, and it was enough. And it changed mine and everyone else's lives forever. But I think, you know, a lot of people have heard different versions of this thing, and not from me, but I mean, a lot of writers take liberties, and there are a couple books on this event. And it's so complex that I think somewhat it's a little too complex for the established hierarchy of the UFO community. I think it's been a bit of a head-scratcher for them. They don't know what to do with this thing. And therefore, I think that people have to look at one factor here. It's been said that these events, no matter what version of it one wants to accept, were of no defense significance. Well, the people of Great Britain, we just returned from a very successful month-long tour there with our book and met an awful lot of people. We got a letter from Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, acknowledging receipt of the book and thanking us. And the thing that's gotten people in Britain very angry is that we were the largest stockpile, backline stockpile, of tactical nuclear weapons secretly housed in Europe. These objects fired beams of light down on the third night, penetrating the storage facility and adversely affecting the arsenal. And I ask, if that isn't defense significance, what is?
Now, stop right there. We'll want to get to that real quick. Those weapons were not supposed to be there.
Well, officially, with our treaty with Britain, no, they were not. We also had chemical weapons stored, blister agents, level 3 biohazards, all kinds of things, nasty things. But the excuse is, well, the Russians have them. So, but no, they weren't. A lot of the anti-nuclear movement thought that stuff was on Greenham Common.
Now, these UFOs that were over the base that night,
mm-hmm.
that they shot beams of light in there.
Right.
Naturally, if they're affecting, how did they affect the stockpile?
Well, from what we understand, and this is only, I didn't witness that happening, what I did see, and that happened on the Woodbridge WSA, weapons storage area, what I understand from our former deputy base commander, Charles Holt, who we conducted 3 in-depth interviews with, they're all reproduced and left at Eastgate, things that might surprise some people that think they know Mr. Holt's position on this series of events, is that he told us this, and it was something I was not aware of. I was aware that we had a special tactical team come in from Germany the next morning on the 29th, and Mr. Holt claims not to know why they were there. Again, he was the deputy base commander of the facility. You don't just park an aircraft on a base and not let anyone know why you're there.
Of course not.
But the people in the higher levels of this thing expect the public to be that naive that they're not going to understand. Mr. Holt also tries to promote the idea that, you know, you get assigned to a base and you sit around for 9 months before you start working as a security cop. Well, anyone that knows the infrastructure is that you have 2 weeks of incoming training, classroom, and then the rest is OJT. And they always try, you know, it's like the Frank Serpico thing, but there's so much to this beyond the incident. And that's what people have to start looking at, because if it can happen to myself and others, it can happen to them.
I think it's happening a lot.
I agree.
Now, one thing back to this thing about the weapon storage. How did it affect the weapons? I mean, what did you hear about it, or how did it adversely affect them?
All I know is the words of Mr. Holt, and that they adversely affected the arsenal.
So that's the wording that was used.
Exactly.
That's extremely interesting, because, you know, there's a story that was in Barry Greenwood's book about Malmstrom Air Force Base, where allegedly the nuclear warhead mm-hmm. was tampered with, the computer on board, navigation computer or something to that effect.
That's right.
This brings up some very interesting sidebars, because of the fact that, you know, we're dealing with something that not only flies in and out of our sensitive installations with impunity.
Exactly.
It doesn't seem that we can stop them.
We can't.
And I think this probably is one reason why we might have one layer of a problem at Bentwaters, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. Hold that thought. We're going to get back to that. We're going to get into this also about how this incident has affected you. The aftermath, as you will, and some of the things that go with it. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. In studio, Larry Warren and Peter Robbins. We're talking about Left at Eastgate. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum. Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services in MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read. Touch with the latest news on the paranormal and the growing UFO phenomena by fax, computer network, and this program, the Paranet Continuum. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. I want to remind you, we're talking about Larry Warren and Peter Robbins' latest book, Left at Eastgate, and I highly recommend this, and we're going to get into this tonight because this is a very important event, and I think that I want to say, you know me, I'm very skeptical and very critical about a lot of the stuff that goes on, and I will say that of all the UFO books that have been written, this one has got the most meat, and I highly recommend it. It doesn't leave you with a lot of questions. I mean, it answers a lot of questions, and of course, it gives you some ability to move forward and maybe look into this yourself, and I really like that about this book. Also, I want to mention that our latest issue of Continuum is out. And it has our previous interview with Larry and Peter and a lot more. And if you want to get a subscription to that, it's $18 a year. You can do so by calling our 800 number, 800-836-6381. That's 800-836-6381. And that number also is for getting information about Paranet and our catalog and all the other things, including tapes of previous shows. And also, again, tonight, if you give us a call at 800-836-2009, which is our live in-studio call-in number, you can purchase a copy of Left at Eastgate for a special price of $19.95, and it will be personally autographed by the authors and sent to you. So that's, again, 1-800-836-2009. Now, back to Larry and Peter. Larry, we were talking before we went to break about this weapon storage area thing and all that. Now, you know, this event, again, it has a lot of important aspects to it, and it's very complex.
Uh-huh.
Let's go into the thing about the aftermath, okay? Because I know that this has affected you personally. It's also affected the other people who were directly involved in the incident.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now your co-author, Peter Robbins, is involved in this. And let's start at the beginning. What happened after this incident?
Next morning, later in the morning on the 29th, we were debriefed, according to rank, from that incident. And I was with a large group of people that were airmen, first class, senior airmen, that sort of thing. But we were debriefed not by the Air Force, and I concur with Mr. Holt in his view that the Air Force was on the sideline in the aftermath. And in reality, what it was is that we were debriefed by Department of Navy, Office of Naval Intelligence.
Why was the Navy involved in this?
Well, I think the Navy plays a very powerful role in the cover-up of the phenomena, and the Air Force is just the lackey.
And that's interesting because the Navy has also, you know, kind of in a background way, you don't hear this talked about much.
No.
But ONI, Office of Naval Intelligence, had a lot to do with the UFO phenomena in the 50s.
And they still maintain that. I think also we had Armed Forces Security Services there, and through our research we now know is that that was a field arm of the National Security Agency, which are the super bad guys in all this. Their charter is not just about tracking satellites and communication intercepts. It seems to be that that is a surface charter of theirs, and it goes much, much further. I think Peter has done an excellent job in blowing the lid. I do feel that left at East Gate in the long run, from the indications we're getting, will probably, and I love this country because I still am able to do what I'm doing, and I've been fighting for this thing for 16 years publicly, but I do believe it will lead to the National Security Agency, which has a massive presence in Great Britain, being asked politely at first to leave. They have no reason to be there. The bad guys aren't the bad guys anymore. So who are the bad guys? What are they doing? This agency can violate civil and constitutional rights at a whim. And I know in the military you kind of sign away your rights as an American citizen, per se, or in any army or Air Force or military branch. But with what they did, these events, some people were so religiously challenged by what had happened to them. And it's the only way I can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this also, that though some of us differ, and especially particularly, the majority of the witnesses are silent. And they are the ones, and this book has produced some new ones also, that never knew this was in the public realm. They're quite relieved. But some of the earlier witnesses, I think, were extremely compromised by the intelligence community that also came into those bases and took advantage of a lot of 18, 19-year-old airmen, with the Air Force still standing on the sidelines. I think there should be accountability here, where there was meddling.
And they messed with you.
They messed with not just me, like Mr. Holt says, myself and others, and I concur. But the only thing I can fault him with, I understand his position, and a lot of people are under the illusion, why believe a colonel, a very honorable person, I'm sure, than over an airman first class? Well, I'm 35, they're almost 36 years old, and this happened to me. It happened to a lot of people. They're still terrified. And if Mr. Holt feels, obviously, that he must toe the party line still as a civilian, I find it reprehensible. I think some chutzpah should be put behind this, and he should, and others, a few others, should do the right thing.
What is or was Holt's position?
At that, the position on the incidents or his job?
I guess his position about this whole thing.
It changes with the wind. And, as a reader will find, if they've followed Mr. Holt, and hopefully we like to talk about this thing with people who have never been touched by this phenomena predominantly, or I've written it as an advocate for people that have been touched by the phenomena and messed around with because of it, and not just in the military, but in the civilian realm. I'm an advocate, I guess, of people, and I think society's changing. But Mr. Holt, on the other hand, is in a very difficult position. He authored the only authentic document on these events 2 weeks after the fact. The dates are wrong. The incidents are all squashed into one or two nights, or it's very confusing intentionally. I actually laid down on paper what happened, matching the Holt document 2 weeks before the fact. Mr. Holt wrote his document. My mother wrote a response sandwiching in Holt's document. And if I had chosen to be making this up or inserting myself into this, you'd have to have been insane because it has brought nothing good, is that the first person I chose to lie about it to was my mother. So one has to really deal with psychology. But because of me, this event blew open in 1982. It led to the HALT document after five denials by the Air Force. It led to the HALT tape, the actual audio, 18 minutes of audio, HALT recorded in the woods, 18 minutes out of 4 hours, mind you. Mm-hmm. That was released to CNN in 1985. So I'm quite proud of what I've done.
What is HALT?
And Peter has done.
What is HALT and the others covering?
Well, publicly right now, I think for a viewer or an archivist that can look back, and Pete might have some thoughts on this, is the CNN special assignments that Chuck DeCaro from CNN did many years ago. It was very good, and CNN's highest rated special assignment at the time. That, you will see many witnesses that said their piece with what they could say, edited, and then have vanished back in the private life. Right now you have John Burroughs, and not even Burroughs anymore, but Jim Peniston. And I must say this, even if I'm critical on certain things, about certain people's positions, all the people that were involved in these events were very fine people serving their country with honor and distinction. And so that should be understood. And I think I get very offended when it's suggested we mistook a lighthouse for these events, we're on drugs, we're hallucinating, or whatever one...
I think, as Lord Hill Norton said, if those guys don't know anything better than that, we're in trouble.
We're in a lot of trouble.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. We'll come back. We've got callers on the line. We'll take you coming back out of this next break, so please hold. We'll be right back after this. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet Continuum, and it deals with some of the most fascinating mysteries around. Once again, here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbett.
And indeed, we do explore some of the most fascinating mysteries. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. In studio tonight is Larry Warren and Peter Robbins. We are talking about the incident at Bentwaters Air Force Base in the UK in 1980, December 1980 to be specific, and the subsequent book Left at Eastgate that has been in the making for over 10 years, and I might add, with incredible battle scars rendered to the authors. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit more in depth. Now, when we went to break, we were talking about what Colonel Holt was covering up.
Yeah.
Okay, there are other things here, too.
Yeah, Pete developed a rapport with him before I actually reconnected since my service days with Mr. Holt, and I think he's best to go into that.
Yeah, I had spoken to Mr. Holt once on my own, then Larry came in, and then we met with Mr. Holt in a shopping mall across the street from the Pentagon, one of the most fascinating hour and 20 minutes of my life. All three interviews are reproduced in the book. You had asked about what is he not saying or what is he holding back on. Well, it's several things, Michael. Number one, he is running interference for a friend of his and at the time, the wing commander of RAF Bentwaters. At the time, Colonel Gordon Williams, who retired as a two-star general and has been more protected on this than any individual directly involved. To our knowledge, he was the highest-ranking officer on scene, and he was very much on scene on the third night of incidents.
He was actually there.
He was directly there, closer than Larry at points. The other thing is Mr. Holt, because of his situation and position, cannot talk about the nuclear presence on base at the time.
Why not?
Well, obvious reasons. We were in full treaty violation with the United Kingdom.
This could have caused a major international incident.
Without question. Remember, again, that within a week or so of the incident, we had a new president named Ronald Reagan. And the fact of the matter is that the president established what was called a special relationship with the new prime minister, Margaret Thatcher. That special relationship between these two very powerful first world countries could have been shattered. It could have caused a major diplomatic splitting off between the United States and the United Kingdom. There was a great deal to keep a lid on.
What did Williams see?
Gordon Williams saw, and I knew, you know, I hear a lot of things, and readers will see that there is no fudging around with the text or interviews as they stood. Things are as they were said, whether it doesn't reflect on me at that moment or not, but that was our job to report exactly and let the reader come to their own conclusions. But Gordon Williams witnessed a non-human life form, aliens for a lack of a better word, in a field known as Capel Green, a field that has produced more physical evidence of an alleged UFO incident than any other.
Did it appear to be in communication?
Well, this is where it has been misrepresented for many, many years. Other writers and UFO researchers, many of which I don't have a great deal of respect for, I have no problem saying that. We do not want to pander or cater to that sect. We want to reach everyone. And the problem is, I saw recently one, he's well known to himself, researcher, I won't name him, why promote him, put on the internet that he felt that Left at Eastgate may be damaging to ufology. Well, we hope it is, in a sense, that there are so many fine people doing good work out there in this, the grassroots movement. I'm not talking about the big organizations that send out their flyers on what to do if you see a UFO and then your test and all this nonsense, right? A garbage man is qualified to know what he's seeing if it ain't right, just as a PhD is. And for God's sake, it's about time maybe something did become dangerous to it so it can be reinvented and a coup d'etat of such, maybe in the mind, can take place and we weed out the people that are keeping this subject down and in the gutter. And there's a lot of them.
I've been complaining about this for years.
Well, you and me both. But you know what? I find a consensus of agreement everywhere we go in the world.
Well, we're not going to get anywhere until we get this weeding done.
We got to weed out the garden.
Yeah.
Get the weed whacker out.
There you go. Okay, let's take a call. We've got Jim calling in from our affiliate 1280 Ralph in Denver. Good evening, Jim.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Hi, Jim.
This is Jim Peters. I just wanted to say it was a pleasure to spend some time with you last night.
Same here,
you too, Jim.
And I also want to let the listening public know that there's some depth to this book that having a chance to look over it today that definitely go just beyond the sighting itself. And along those lines, I know, Peter, last night you had mentioned some talk about possible weather experiments, and I was noticing the pictures regarding your quote-unquote freak storm. And I was wondering if you guys could touch on that just a little bit for me.
Yeah, that's correct, Jim. This does not have to do specifically with the Bentwaters incident, but you have to bear in mind that this area of East Anglia, Suffolk, besides being an extremely important strategic military area from World War II and before, is also an area where series of advanced weapons tests have been conducted since World War I. For example, radar was perfected less than 15 miles from the site of the incident.
Gotcha.
Bottom line here is that it does seem that a weather weapon was utilized in mid-October of 1987, 5 months before Larry and I made our first specific research visit to the area. It was a quote-unquote freak storm that swept in without warning from any of the British Meteorological Services, broke every kind of record imaginable, and was labeled a hurricane. Hurricanes are moisture-driven, Jim. This did not have a drop of rain involved, and in 3 hours, flattened over a million trees.
We believe it was a NATO-wide test, and you know what? A lot of people in Great Britain now think so, too. The winds, I mean, the picture's in the book, and it sounds like we're hawking the book. Well, we are. But, you know, hey, if we don't do it, you can't rely on
shamelessly
publishers these days, even. But, you know, quite honestly, we're very proud of what we've done. We think it's going to inspire people. Someone like yourself, Jim, who is doing the good work, and we applaud you, and it's great to have met you, is that you're asking the right questions now. This event has been ignored for 15, 17 years, or attempted to be ignored by the hierarchy of the UFO community, the old guard, as they say. But it's not going to work. This thing is a virus. It's a breath of fresh air in a new direction, and it is about all of us, and it's where we're going.
Well, it seems like this whole area is a whole Pandora's box of activity, as you said so well earlier, that somebody needs to be accountable for. And also, I was interested in maybe a little bit more detail on what you were talking about, the underground facilities there.
Well, just to cut right to some recent information, we conducted an interview with a government-employed surveyor who, in the late 80s, was privy to absolutely classified plans of three massive tunnels, and I'm talking about tunnels larger than the so-called Channel Tunnel. You could drive two trains across with lots of room in between and on both sides, running underneath the Twin Base complex with connections out to other areas. And this is the tip of the iceberg.
And you're referring to the, what is it, the channel that connects England and France as far as in reference to?
That is correct.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, these bases also, now the base shut down in 92 with the cutbacks and all. However, RAF Woodbridge is being utilized by RAF helicopter units. RAF Bentwaters is becoming a ghost town. However, the private sector has offered a great deal of money many times to buy it. However, it was sold out. Instead of the $12 million offer they first had, it was sold out for $7 million to a private firm known as Bentwaters Investments that the Times of London have not been able to track down at all. And I believe, and Peter believes, and many others do believe, is that something is still going on beneath the surface of that installation as we speak.
A mysterious cutout company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No record of them anywhere.
Jim, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Keep listening. And we're going to go to break. 1-800-836-2009. Coming up, we're going to be giving away a book, and I'll give you the details in just a little bit. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services in MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network. UFOs, it's important to keep an open mind, but not as open as, say, a refuse can. We separate the facts from the garbage on the Paranet Continuum. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin. 1-800-836-2009 is the number. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, we're going to give away an autographed copy of the book to the 15th caller who calls in on that number, 800-836-2009. It's left at Eastgate, and again, as I've mentioned, this is probably one of the most important incidences that has occurred. And this book probably covers the absolute best of anything I've ever seen out there, so it's a very important book. 15th caller, 800-836-2009. Now, back to my guests, Peter Robbins and Larry Warren. Guys, what, you know, we start getting into the darker aspects of this, the way that you were messed with, Larry. What did they do to you?
Well, I identified myself as a problem within hours of the incident itself, and as I got back into civilian life...
How did you do that? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, the first thing I did is I called my mother from a secured phone.
To tell her about the incident.
Right, and I've seen on the Internet some imbecile on, I don't know, some very paranoid web page where everyone puts out their howl of hate or pain or whatever it is. Describing that my mother has denied anything about this, and, you know, let him fight with her, for God's sake. But aside from that, I called her, and all the phones on NATO air bases are monitored. I was called in on the carpet for it. I denied it. The tape was played back, and I was fined for it. But that way, I was already identified as a security risk on the event. And they were clamping this, as one of our bosses said, Mess Sergeant Gulia said, everything was clamped down quite suddenly. And it was. However, I did not like how we were being treated. The world changed literally in December 1980, late December, and I thought this would be known everywhere, and I was very surprised to find out no one knew about it. And As time went on, I became a civilian. I ended up as the performing monkey as a UFO witness, which is not a pleasant role to play in general, quite by accident. It was not that I sought out fame, fortune, attention. Folks, there isn't any. It's not worth it. But in the long run, I think it has been worth it, because this is a social and political issue. It is not a flying saucer story. People that like flying saucer stories may not want to read this book. It might frighten them. It might scare them. It might make brain cells start working that haven't been working in a long time.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because this, I do believe this is a political issue, because the phenomena itself is unifying. There is a lot of disunity in this country and many other countries just in general. There are a lot of social issues that need fixing desperately, not just resolution of the UFO problem.
We're deconstructing at a rapid rate.
We are deconstructing, and I think we can reverse that. I do believe it, and this isn't a new agey kind of outlook, but I do believe that the UFO community at large, which there isn't a community, I always said ufology would eat itself, or I compared it to Beirut back in the early 80s, with all the different factions not sharing information, not providing a public service as they fraudulently represent themselves as doing. And I'm not saying this is for everyone. The people who know talking about know who I'm talking about. The other people probably agree. And for just the average Joe or Jane on the street, they should start making themselves become aware of a lot of the secret truths that exist in this country. It's called fascism with a smile. And the leash is very short, and we've got to start to lengthen it and get the democratic process happening again and functioning again. And I keep promising that if things... I live in Vermont, which is a very liberal state, that if things don't progress, instead of sitting on the fence, I'll run for the Senate of Vermont and go to D.C. I can't be bought. Why not? Let's make some changes. Let's all get involved. If two guys, Peter and myself, can do what we have done, two guys, all of us together, even with our differences, but all of us with a unified direction and an aim, can change the world overnight.
It's an interesting thing you say, and of course it's something that's I feel needed. But the problem is, and I'm just curious, we talked about this earlier tonight, what do you do with the overall so-called UFO community? How do you go about appealing to the consensus reality of the mass of the people in the mainstream?
Mm.
How do you go about doing this when all you have out here now are Roswell declarations and all these different groups that are doing their, I call them dog and pony shows, for lack of a better word, where they basically embarrass legitimate effort.
Right.
Michael, one place to begin is tonight, right here on the air. You have a lot of listeners who take you seriously, who tune into this show, and speaking for myself, we have a book that is the epitome of one of these secrets, how well kept it was, the lengths to which the forces that be will go to keep decent, reasonable people from getting to the truth, to keep other people from coming forward with the truth. It's backed up by evidentiary details that if one could present them in a court of law in this country or other countries, this case would be decided. If people who are listening tonight find
in our favor,
this book,
by the way,
read this book, whether or not they buy it at a bookstore, borrow it from a friend, or take it out of their library, they may just be bitten by the bug that has gotten both of us. It's called The Truth, and they might just begin to act on it in their own terms, to write letters to their elected officials, to take a stand on it. It has to happen individual by individual, and it can start here.
I want to point out one thing that you said that I agree with 100%. You used a word called evidentiary. This is one of the things that impresses me about this case so much, is that this thing is so full of evidence, and not contrived evidence, real evidence. I mean, it's acknowledged. I mean, it's been acknowledged. We've seen something on CNN years ago. There's been documents released concerning it. Of course, there have been public pronouncements, acknowledgments of it. Evidence is what it's about.
Physical evidence as well. And this is not just me doing my thing to back up Larry's extraordinary account. It is the account of many other individuals woven throughout this text, civilian and military alike. It is, I feel, the most important single case, not because we did it, but because it is. It has every aspect that you could bring to a court of law. and again, as Larry said, would be decided in the favor of the reality of the incident and my co-author's involvement in the incident.
Now, the one point I've been making lately, and even in Britain, is that as a participant in this, the whistleblower, one of them now, but the first, it was genetic. There wasn't anything by design. It was just that scenario. Peter described why I did what I did better than I could understand it. I could never understand why, how other people could have kept it quiet. However, a lot of people that went through these things had parents that probably went back into civilian life, family, friends that probably did not understand what they had gone through. And the problem was not that UFOs are real and that someone else is here, and they are here, mm-hmm. whoever they are. I don't know. But as one reads this, everyone is going to find out, and it's only a mode of communication, sadly, a book. Hopefully it is spreading like a virus, no thanks to our publisher in this country, I will say, but in the long run, I think people are going to see themselves in it, because it's a story of survival more than anything. It's a story of integrity. It's a story of standing up at any cost for what you believe in. And if more people would do this, and especially encourage their children to do this, Generation X doesn't have to be called Generation X. I'm a baby boomer. I don't understand a lot of even their music. But these are going to be the kids that are either going to be taking control of this thing.
They're going to be dealing with this.
They're going to have to. Yeah. They're going to be dealing with the reality. And as we will, but we're going to be out of the loop by that point. We'll be very old people. But the thing is the focus should not be on Larry Warren. The focus should be on the entire scope of the implications of what these events are all about. And they are vitally important to all of us.
Okay. We're going to go to break, and we'll come back and we'll get some closing comments for this first hour. I want to thank Merle for calling. He's the winner of the book that will be personalized by the authors Larry Warren and Peter Robbins. He's in Livingston, Montana, listening in on KMMS. And again, if you want to get your personalized copy at a special price of $19.95, give us a call. You're running out of time. 1-800-836-2009. You will get a personalized copy of this book, which is one of the best and most important books you'll ever read. I'm Michael Corbin. This is the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Support the Paranet Continuum by ordering from the 1997 Paranet catalog. Paranet offers products and services designed to keep you abreast of the latest in ufology and news of the paranormal. Get full-color laser-printed t-shirts and sweatshirts with space travel and alien themes, including a spectacular black-and-white Paranet t-shirt. Get audio cassettes of more than 150 Paranet Continuum radio shows, featuring interviews of people such as Richard Hoagland, Jacques Vallée, Travis Walton, Stanton Friedman, Malachi Martin, Alan Hale, Betty Hill, Edgar Mitchell, and others, and topics ranging from abductions to Zeta Reticuli. You can also get Continuum, Paranet's official quarterly magazine. Paranet memberships have access to MyCap, our investigations group, and discounts to merchandise. The 1997 Paranet catalog is free. Call now, 1-800-836-6381. That's 1-800-836-6381 for the Paranet catalog.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
sometimes stranger than fiction. Finding out the truth is the hard part. Join us in our search with the Paranet Continuum. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
Welcome back, 1-800-836-2009. I want to thank everybody out there who have called in for their personalized copies of Left at Eastgate. And again, you have a couple more minutes to be able to do this, 800-836-2009. They're only $19.95, and you can use your Visa or MasterCard to do so. And I recommend that you get this book. It's very important, and you'll really be happy with it. But anyway, back to my guests, and we're going to wrap, as always, an hour, you know. Now, I want to say one thing. Everybody knows in Denver that we do a second hour here, and probably next week we'll probably play the second hour nationally so you'll be able to hear what happened. But let's wrap this up real quick. Why is this so important for the future? And I'll start with you, Larry.
Okay, briefly for me, what it is and what my goal with this is that, and as I've said this to Mr. Holt, our commander, is that I think if the opportunity arises, the financial ability is there, I'd like to be able to help get this thing, and all of us witnesses, to this thing in front of Congress, get some resolution and accountability, which is the big key word with this, not UFOs, accountability, get reparations possibly for all the damage it was caused to civilians and military involved, and also open up the floodgates so people, the everyday guy and girl going down the street who have been touched by this phenomena can hold their head high, not be afraid of losing their job if someone hears about what has happened to them. This is a worldwide situation. It has the potential of unifying all of us. It can change the world for the better, and until we do that, this new movie Contact ain't going to happen for a long time. And I think if all of us are together in a unified effort, we're going to change the world. It's going to happen.
Peter?
50 years ago, something was set in motion. It was called the National Security State. We live in a national security state, and the most precious thing that we possess as Americans is our democracy. Secrecy erodes democracy, and that piece of sand inside the pearl that is the irritant of post-war history is this cover-up. Read this book and respond to your elected officials. Educate yourselves, my friends.
That's it. Thank you very much for being on the program tonight, and Denver listeners, we have another hour coming up on 1280 Ralph. We'll be right with you on that. Until next week, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. And one more thing before I say goodnight. If you need to reach me, you can do so at 303-863-0484. Again, that's 303-863-0484. My email address is mcorbin@dimensional.com. Again, until next week, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.